Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat.
Pops, man, big part of, obviously, he's your pops. Big part of my life, too, growing up as a kid. I knew Pete great as a kid. I knew him well as an adult. I had him on my show, you know, right before he passed. Everybody with the Pete Rose thing, everybody thinks they know Pete. I don't know that they did. And they make this, you know, when he passed away, they tried to make it this epic tragedy. And I disagree. I mean, was he complicated? I don't know. Was he simple? How do you look at him as dad?
As dad, that's how I look at him. As dad. I mean, as dad, but, you got to see a side that a lot of people didn't get. You got to see him at the ballpark, and what you got at the ballpark is pretty much what you got at home. One of the funniest persons I've ever met in my entire life. Really cared about the fans. You know, and I tell you, Booney, when he passed, the thing that really overwhelmed me was all the tributes that people wrote in about how he changed their lives. Not baseball people, but like everyday people. And that really struck me, like, because listen, we grew up the same way. Listen, 8 was dad, 14 was dad. That's just how it was. The only difference was we got to go down the ballpark every night. And I tell people that all the time. Listen, I'm no different than everybody else. We put our pants leg on one leg at a time. The only difference is my dad's got more hits than everybody else's dad on the planet.
That's true.
But he was just, he was down to earth. He's a people's person. You know, people got to see the Charlie Hustle tough guy side. But, you know, when you got to really see the true side of him, you really, I'll tell you what, man, he one of a kind, one of one. No two ways around it. Just the funniest guy I know. But you know what? Just one of the best people I know. I mean, and I know it sounds weird just because all the stuff that he did. But, you know, that's a whole nother side of it. I'm talking about the dad side. I'm talking about the family side. I'm talking about the way I grew up, the way my sister grew up, you know, that type of deal. But he was awesome, man. I mean, he's funny. And, you know, the way he taught me the game is really unique, but really special. I'm glad I had to listen to him. It's like, you know, with my son don't want to listen to your dad. I'm sure Jake didn't want to listen to you. Well, I had to listen to my dad because he's got more hits than everybody. And I'm glad I did, just on little things. But what a dad, and truly missed. I mean, you know, they say it gets easier, but it doesn't. And, you know, he's been gone for 2.5 months or 2.5 years or whatever it's been. And, you know, it's just, it's the same thing every day. You just want to pick up the phone and, you know, just hear that voice, hear that George Sugar come yelling at you on the phone. But, what a gem, man. What a gem.
He was unbelievable. And I'll get to a little bit later about, you know, my thoughts with Pete. And you're right. He's one of a kind. There's nobody like Pete. You know, there's a few guys you run into in this game, and they're just one of one. It's like I played for Lou Piniella for 4 years. There's one of one. Nobody else is Lou. Nobody else was Pete. And I got a chance. He came on the podcast shortly before he passed away. Mm-hmm. And I'll get to that because it was a little bit of a different Pete than I've interacted with my whole life. Before he passed, was he content at this stage of his life? Do you think?
I think he was, you know, just kind of where it was, like where everything was, and, you know, where the, I don't want to say the Hall of Fame, just kind of was, you know, you got grandkids. You know, watching them play sports, just kind of just wanting to live life. You know what I mean? And I think that's what the thing that I think he was content about. It was like, you know what? He did what he did. The numbers are what they are. It's out of his control. You know what? I'm not going to let it consume his life anymore. And, you know, he's just content just being who he was and just going to try to live life to the fullest. But I think you're right. I think he was definitely content. I think he just was kind of over the whole deal.
He was, and there was a little, the last interview I did with him, he was a little, I mean, he was Pete, but he was a little bit different. He was contrite. He kind of said to me, he goes, you know what, Booney? He goes, the sad part about all this, he said, this Hall of Fame, and you're right. I mean, from the day, you know, back in the 80s to now, there probably hadn't been a day gone by in his life when the Hall of Fame hasn't been discussed around him with that name. And I'll get to it. You know, it's Ruth, it's Gehrig, it's Mantle, it's DiMaggio. Rose is in that breath. I mean, it's the fabric of baseball. I think of Ruth, that you see Rose in there. I think Charlie Hustle, he's in the conversation. But you know what was a little different about him and how he is with us is he's that raw Pete on. He's on all the time. But he was a little bit, you know, he said Booney, and he had a real serious moment because he liked to joke. And he said, the only thing I care about at this stage, and he said, and it's sad. He said, they're never going to let me in while I'm alive. And he said, and they're not going to allow me to enjoy it. And my friends and my family, especially, to enjoy it. He goes, yeah, maybe one day when I'm long gone, he said, they might put me in. He goes, but, you know, who cares if my family and kids and they're not going to be able to enjoy it with me? What's the point? It was a different side of Pete than I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, man. The way I tell everybody when you start talking with Ruth and Gehrig and all, listen, when you've played here, you've been in Cincinnati, this is where we're from. When you talk about baseball, when you talk about Pete Rose, and I tell this to everybody when I'm traveling, he's our Babe Ruth. When you grow up, you wanted to wear 14. You wanted to slide head first. You wanted to hit in the crouch. You wanted to do whatever it is that he did on the baseball field. And a lot of people got mad about, but that's just Cincinnati. That's just us. That's just how we were brought up. But I think you're right, man. It just got to the point to where, you know, I kind of explained it. It's like when I played a minor league game or a big league game or a game here in the States, there wasn't a game I didn't play where I didn't hear something derogatory about me or my family. Right. So it's kind of the same way Pop's hearing about the Hall of Fame from, you know, whenever it was till the day he died. And I think he just kind of got sick of it and just kind of was like, you know what? I'm kind of at peace with it. You know, whatever happens, happens. You know, I did what I did and, you know, I moved on. Why can't everybody else move on? But, you know, I just think it sucks. I mean, that he's not here. I mean, especially, you know, we had Pete Rose Day here. What was that last year? And then when they, I don't know, when they took the ban off or they said he was eligible. I mean, Booney, I went to grab my phone to call Pops just to hear his. And I'm like, man, I can't. You know what I mean? So it was great. But then you get back to the whole, well, he's not here to enjoy it. And it's kind of like, well, what's really the purpose? You know, he's a Hall of Famer. I know he's a Hall of Famer. Everybody else knows he's a Hall of Famer. Well, I mean, just kind of leave it at that. You know what I mean? It's as players, we kind of know. I mean, if you watch him play, I mean, you can talk the records. Go and watch the YouTube videos. I mean, I watched, me and my son, we were watching the 77 or 76 All-Star game in Philly, and he lines a line drive right back through the middle off Mark Fidrich to lead the game off. And it's funny, I listened to him talk. He's like, every All-Star game he played in, if he played in the playoffs the year before, if he faced the guy who was starting in the World Series the year before, he knew what he threw, so he would swing at the first pitch. If he didn't, he'd tell you, well, I got to take at least one or two to see what the heck's going on. And sure enough, take a pitch, next pitch, line drive up the middle. So, but we know what he did on the field. We know that he's 1-of-1. And, I'm kind of over the whole thing. It's just enough's enough. You know, the whole uncle tapping, you know, I'm tapping out. You know, it's everybody wants to debate this, debate that. That's fine. You guys can debate whatever you want to debate. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, 4,256 hits, most winning games. The records go on and on and on and on. And like you said, we come in the game and there's 1-of-1s. There's one Barry Bonds. There's one Pete Rose. There's one Babe Ruth. There's one Ty Cobb. You know, you as players, you know who they are. And you know what? Whatever they do, they do. I mean, hey, did Dad make mistakes? Of course. Absolutely. He'll be the first to admit that. And, you know, we all make them. And it's just a matter of, you know what? He never got a second chance. And you know what? It is what it is, the whole saying. And we can't really do nothing about it. We just got to live on. And, you know, the only thing I wish is, you know, when people talk about him, they talk about the good things he did on the field, how he played, how he battled, how he was there for his teammates, how he went to the post every night. I mean, for him to go to the post every night, and it's like, I go back to that 80s team, and everybody went to the post every night. And it was, I got older, and I understood that everybody went to the post because if if 8 was a little banged up, well, 20 was banged up, well, he wasn't going to let 8 down, and 8 was going to not let 14 down, and 30 and 31 and 21 and on and 11 and 9 and so forth. So it's like those guys really played together, and it's just like, you know, that kind of stuff that pops that you didn't see from the outside, but you saw like we saw. It makes it that much more special. I mean, he went to the post every single day. And even later into his career, you know, I remember walking in when he was a player manager, and he looked me dead in the eye and goes, "Hey, you think I should hit second tonight or third?" And I'm just kind of looking at him. I'm in high school. I'm like, third, Dad? You know, and then we'd be sitting on the bench. "Hey, you think I can hit this guy?" You know, I remember one night we were in Houston, and Browning, Otis is throwing a one-hit shutout. And it's like in the eighth. And he looks at me and he goes, "You think I can get a base hit off this guy?" I'm like, "Pops, of course you can." He walks down to Tom Brown and he goes, "Hey, I'm going to hit for you." He goes, "Skip, listen, I feel great. No, I'm going to hit for you." "All right, Skip." Went right back up, helmet on, bat, top batting glove on, one of them. I think he had a line drive to left field, man.
Top batting glove. See, those are the little things that people miss. Top batting glove. That doesn't exist anymore. It's always the bottom batting glove. But back in those days, glove top hand. Batting glove, it's like you didn't even. Nobody batted an eye at it. You had a spot built on one hand and a Brooks on the other.
And the best part about it was 14 and 8, any kind of playoff all-star game, helmet on if they're the visitors, out to the line for introductions. Catcher's helmet on. I saw that Tony Pena got introduced, had the yellow pirate helmet on, was getting introduced, which was classic.
And for those of you watching and listening to the Brett Boone podcast today, we have a little group of guys from our childhood, Petey, and we trade. I mean, Petey will throw a video to Aaron, my brother. I'll throw a video to Petey. I'm telling you how entertaining it is. I was watching the Baseball Bunch with Petey the other day, and my wife, she doesn't understand any of this, and I'm cracking up. And she's like, "What's so funny?" I said, "You don't understand the level of hilarity I'm watching with Pete trying to teach these kids how to hit. I mean, if it's that, it's the Aqua Velva commercial. It's endless. And every once in a while, when I see an old Pete Rose video, I think of you. I think of how funny it is. And we'll get into some more stories because I got a bunch of them from the World Series. The night after the World Series, I sleep at your house and I wake up to an ass in my face and a fart and a fart so loud. And then there's Pete. Here's what I remember, Petey. It's we win the World Series. Me and you are kids. We don't even know. We're so naive. This is part of our life. And they have the party and mom and dad. You know, 8 decides to go home and they're going to go out and celebrate a little bit. Pete says, "Oh, the kids can stay with me. I stay at your house." Your dad throws us on the pullout couch.
That's right.
And all I remember is I had a velour shirt on. I got a Philly cap. I smell like beer and champagne from the night before. And I remember just opening my eyes as probably a 10-year-old. And I got Pete's ass spread eagle over me, farts in my face. Says, "Hey, Mullion, get up. We got to go to the parade." Cracks a Coke and we're off to the parade.
That's right. I mean,
it's stuff like that I can't. Oh, you know, man. Those are things you can't replicate.
You can't. I mean, the best of you talking about the play. I love it that your dad always used to say, "Well, if Pete would have busted ass to get over there, I wouldn't have had to pick, you know, run all that way."
Right.
But that's not the kicker. The kicker is he catches it. The basketball dribble, one off the turf, the shovel pass with the open first baseman that Bobby Wine gave him, the shovel pass to Tug McGraw, and then the clap, the sprint back to first base. Listen, it's game 7. He dribbles a baseball off the turf right back to him, to the shovel pass right back to Tugger. Let's go win the World Series, boys.